Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. Bravo, 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 Oiler fan. You were in the building tonight, and part of that standing ovation for Connor Brown, well played. That was something. And Connor Brown is now off the schneid. One down, 14 more to go. Hey, Strutty, welcome to Got Your Back, folks. Strutty standing by. And Rob Brown will join us at some point when he gets into his car and starts driving home. Coming at you from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. It's more than just golf. It's a sports destination. Locations on Stony Plain Road and in Sherwood Park as well. And as always, our podcast proudly presented by none other than Sherwood Buick GMC. Have you seen what they are up to this month? Trying to go to the moon. They've got a goal of selling 400 cars. Sometimes Phil just gets ideas in his head, and this is one of them. So if any listeners out there are even thinking about a vehicle change, now is the time to go to Sherwood Buick GMC. Chances are they're going to be willing to wheel and deal for you. So this is definitely, don't wait till the end of the month. You know that thing people always try and do? You don't have to. Go to Sherwood Buick GMC right now. They are wheeling and dealing. 10 Auto Mall Road is the address. You can see what they have online as well. GMCpod.com, the number one Buick GMC dealership, volume-wise, in the country the last 6 years in a row. Strutty, late one, bud. That 822 puck drop, what the hell? What the hell?
I can't be more against 8 o'clock starts or 8:20 or anything after 7:30. In fact, I might call Gary myself. It is nuts. Washington fans had to watch this game start at 10:20, Ovechkin versus McDavid. Crazy. It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. It's ridiculous. It's just like two of the most exciting players to watch in the game, and like no chance for any children to watch it. You know, any province is over from us. So definitely goofy, but that's okay. We're bringing the energy tonight. A little late night post-game podcast tonight. While we're waiting on Rob Brown, Struds, we got some few comments in the stream last night and some pretty strong chirps. Zuby, mind calling up our little screenshot of Rob Brown from last night? A lot of comments, Struddy, about how deep he went with the buttons being undone on his shirt. So his son fired off a text to him sort of saying, "Dad, like, you got to button that up, man. You're giving Simon Cowell vibes." So I was going to say something last night and I forgot, Strutty, but that's pretty funny.
I like it. The plunging V-line, right? Plunging neckline, they call it in the business. I'm into it. I respect it. I think it looks good. And he can pull it off. He's got just enough hair between those pecs.
Is he there? Brownie, are you there? Oh, there he is. Sorry, I thought I was going to squeeze that in before you were on.
I can hear you. I can hear you. Words hurt. Actually, earlier today was text that hurt from my son and my wife, and then you guys. I didn't realize the shirt that I had was showing off my massive pecs, but now I know to dress a little more conservatively for the podcast.
No. MTJ Disorder says Rob got the Riz, whatever the Riz is. Struds. Oh, goodness. Okay, Struds, hopefully you're not offended by this. You're not easily offended, Struds. Somebody in the chat is labeled themselves Struds Five Head.
Oh.
I guess
it came out of left field at that one.
Yeah, but he says, can we get some tea bags for Strutty's eyes? Yikes. So feeling like you're looking a little, it's a late night. You're out. You're working out at like 6 a.m.
I'm literally burning the can at both ends, but that's what Albertans do and others. So I'm in here grinding it out, guys. Full speed.
And Shogger, Brownie's Riz is his charisma.
Oh, is that what that is? What the kids are saying?
The kids say that, yes.
Okay.
I've never
heard that. Very good. Let's get to breaking down a hockey game, guys, and an epic night for Connor Brown. brought to you by Mr. Dirk, the iconic men's clothing store in Edmonton, founded in 1939. It's been around a long time. Just off White Avenue, around 102nd Street, they've got everything you need for all aspects of your wardrobe. Casual stuff to give you all kinds of brownie riz, like jeans, pants, shirts, sweaters, shoes. And on the formal side, just a great selection. I'm wearing a Mr. Dirk special. Had the Yope suit tonight. This is one of their dress shirts. Real quality stuff. I love it. Check them out at MrDirk.com. Okay, Struds. I wanted to ask, what emotions do you think Connor Brown was experiencing after the goal and the crowd's going nuts? And there are some hats. He's kind of standing there waiting for the puck to drop. He's looking at the Caps players. Like, it's partly kind of embarrassing, maybe a little, but also pretty cool. Like, what's the gamut of emotions that he's feeling in that moment?
Well, I was proud of Oilers fans, the way they reacted to him scoring.
Yes, like, I agree.
And he made the post-game comment. He said, you know what, it's not like I'm not trying to score or I don't want to score. I think I've scored in the past. And to go that long, it is embarrassing. Like, you know, and even for me, like, I wouldn't get embarrassed. But when you scored, it felt good. But he wants to score. He expects himself to score. So it does get embarrassing. So I think there's a flood of emotion. I think there's relief. There's joy. And then, you know, the fans going, I think there's some pride. And I think he will. I do think this is going to be a tipping point for him in his season, Brownie.
I agree. I think that I know what it's like getting traded to a team you want to contribute right away. And I know when you're an offensive player, you come in with high expectations. The longer it lasts, the harder it is. And it starts affecting every part of your life, like at home or driving, like it's because it's always on your mind. So I think I agree that there was relief and then excitement and joy. But it was funny, at the next faceoff, while the hats are all being thrown on, Tom Wilson was out there, and obviously I can't read lips from where I was, but he's talking to Kane. It was almost like, Kane, what is going on here? Why is there this celebration? And Kane's like, yeah. Well, he just scored his first goal. He's like, oh, okay, I understand now. So I think he was a little sheepish. I think Connor Brown, as it continued. But I do agree with you, Struds. I think by the end of the season, you're going to see a 4 or 5 beside his name. He talked about coming to the games, he can now play freely because he doesn't have – if he gets a 2-on-1, he doesn't have to think, I probably should shoot because I don't have a goal. He now has a goal in the bank, and he can go out and just play hockey. And other than the goal scoring, other parts of his game have been good.
We got most of that, Brownie. We got most of that. You were breaking up a little bit. But even in every third word, you still sound brilliant, pal. Struds, you want to revise your prediction? So you had him at 15. We're going to give you a redo on that. Now that the floodgates are open, as Draisaitl put it, what do you think's realistic here? Like, how many more do you think?
Man, I'm going to go 6.
That's aggressive. That is aggressive. Still, that is aggressive.
Is this coming from the guy who said Corey Perry would have 30 points?
Ever said 30 points. Brownie, 29. How many are you giving Brownie?
I'm going to give him 4. I think he's got 3 more in him.
Three more goals in him? I wonder if Chris Knobloch maybe saw this coming a little bit, because one of the things we noticed is that he replaced Corey Perry on what would be the team's third line. And I know they love what he does on the penalty kill, and his attitude behind the scenes has been good. He does all the right things that you do when you're in this situation. But interesting touch from the coach to elevate him up the lineup a little bit, Struds, and give him some guys that would give him a better chance of being around it at the net.
Yeah, fair. I do think, though, there's some speed element there. I do think that that's part of it. I think that, you know, Corey Perry's got his gamesmanship really smart, but I think, you know, add a little bit more speed to what that line is or what he's looking for in a third line. So that's why I think Connor Brown is there and not Perry.
Brownie, what do you think?
I agree, Struds. I agree 100%. I think that's exactly why he's there. I think he's looking forward to playoff matchups. I think that if he plays against a Vegas Golden Knights or an LA King team that are 3-4 lines deep, I think he needs some speed on their third line, someone that he can feel safe putting out. Henrique's very good both ways. He's a good defensive forward. And if they got Connor Brown, he feels safe now having those guys out there playing against other teams' top two lines. So I do believe that he is looking at playoff lines, and he likes Connor Brown there because of his speed and because younger legs than Corey Perry. So I think this is what he wants come playoff time.
Let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox and hear from the man himself, Edmonton's first choice for all your heating, air conditioning, and plumbing needs. Jingle, just kidding. Sunny days are back, and if your mind is on summer, be ready and take advantage of Weiss Johnson's sale. 25% off all in-stock air conditioners. Check out Weiss-Johnson.com. Pretty
nice.
Not good, Zuby. Not good. Here's Connor Brown on the crowd, on you, the people.
I scored a big one in Toronto at the end of the year in my rookie season for my 20th, and it was a pretty big thing, but I think that one would take the cake. You know, it's amazing, obviously, when you kind of get that feeling of, you know, that kind of, you know, this town kind of, you know, behind me and that kind of support. And, you know, that's huge for a player. I mean, it's huge for me to, you know, kind of build off that momentum and keep it rolling.
Also asked him what it's been like around town, because Oiler fan is educated. They know what's going on. And when they see Connor Brown, my guess is it's not always just like, hey, Connor, how's it going? It's probably understanding who he is and what's going on. So I asked him about that.
Lots of positive interactions, like around town. Lots of people, you know, it's coming, or the ones you get, in very positive and supportive. So, you know, it's been great. It's been nice to hear that from the fans. But obviously, sometimes it's a reminder. So it gets tough. But it's like I said, it's, you know what, it's nice to get on the board there and just go out and play now.
Judging from what some people are saying on the stream here, we're having some video lag issues, so we apologize for that. Happened the other night, too. We believe it's a YouTube issue. But the video, if you go back and watch it, should be nice and smooth. So again, our apologies if it's a little bit bumpy here on the live stream. Nice for Connor Brown to have that in the rear view mirror. Struds, real solid offensive night from the power play, which gets off the schneid a little bit here. Leon Draisaitl coming through with a pretty big night. Overall tonight, it just seemed like offensively the Oilers were not going to be beaten in this game, despite Washington punching back a bit.
Yeah, you know, give Washington credit. I thought they had a lot of speed to their game. I was pretty impressed with how quickly they played. But if funny, the power play, the first, they had got a 4 minute, if you didn't watch the game, that a 4 minute power play. And I thought the first two and a half minutes actually didn't look that good. And then they got it going. And then they found their game. They got it. And then the power play started clicking. And, you know, obviously Leon scoring. Then you just kind of go from there. Connor coming up high. I love that play, by the way, when he goes up really high. Because as a defender, it's, you know, how far am I willing to come out? And then if I don't come out that far, now he's tacking me downhill with speed. So I love that play. So, yeah, the power play I thought looked good, crisp. And I thought it was funny that Leon kind of said, you know, there's a lot of people worrying about that power play, and most of them are in this room or something.
It was a great line. It was funny. Like, I think people are making too big a deal of that. Well,
yeah,
pretty damn good power play that went dry for a good run of like, when is it time to start asking about it? 10 games? 15? You know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that he punched back. I got no problem with it, but it was an issue.
Yeah, I guess. But I guess also you look at the year average, you know, I because there's ups and downs all the time. You know, even I think recently the penalty kill has been pretty good, but it struggled there for a bit. Yep. So, yeah, I get it. Like, I see both sides of it. But I guess I like the pushback.
Me too.
2-9.
Yeah, I think it's funny. Brownie, what do you think?
Well, I before the game, we were asked on air too, like, are you worried or concerned about the power play? I'm like, no, this is the same group, same talent. Eventually, the puck's going to find the back of the net, and it did. As far as the game, though, to me, the Washington Capitals look like the Oilers did in the first 12 games of the season. If you're going to play against a team that's better than you, and the Oilers are better than the Capitals, you've got to play smart, disciplined, defensive hockey, and you've got to be disciplined when it comes to penalties. Capitals took four dumb penalties with their sticks up, and the mistakes they made were huge, huge mistakes. The Connor McDavid power play goal, the one defender up high points, okay, I've got this Bouchard, you take him. And no one went to McDavid, and he skated all the way down on the goal that Hyman scored, the two-on-one goal. a one-handed pass off a one faceoff. The Capitals won the draw, and the defenseman tries one-handing it to his partner. Just, I mean, those mistakes, you can't make those mistakes against a team that's better than you. And the Capitals just kept making them over and over. And then what's funny, and you guys haven't even talked about it yet, is the play of Stuart Skinner. In a 7-2 hockey game, you shouldn't have to talk about the goalie. But Stuart Skinner, he let the first two shots in. Still don't know how the first one went in. The third shot of the game was the Ovechkin backdoor dive across save. If that goes in, there would have been it would have been a quiet rink. And then he was outstanding the rest of the night.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that next, but you just gobbled it all up. So we'll go to break. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out. We'll talk in a couple of minutes. Literally, it's like the next thing on my notes. Skinner and OV. I like the fact that it wasn't once, wasn't twice, thrice, Struds, three times. So after letting the first two shots of the game go in, which probably can't feel great, Rob's an amazing goal scorer in Ovechkin and had Ovi's number all night long. That in itself has to feel pretty good for Stu Skinner.
Yeah, I think, though, the first two goals are just kind of bad luck. You know, the puck luck, as people love to talk about it. But after that, you know, he made some massive – those three saves are huge on Ovi, and they're legit. You know, the first one, maybe, you know, we could have shot it one time, but the puck's bobbling. It's a pretty hard shot. Then the redirection, you know, like he was on it. He was really feeling it and just attacking, seemed to be attacking where Ovi was trying to shoot. So just some great saves by him. And I think doing it against Ovechkin is a little bit different than doing it against, you know, whomever, I guess, further down that lineup.
Yeah. Brownie, like when you rob a guy like that, and it was almost one of those saves was so good. It almost looked like the Washington player said something to Skinner, like, oh, like nice save. I don't know if that would ever, how often that would happen out there, but they almost seemed to appreciate it too.
Well, and what it does is it gives your bench a rise too. I mean, if it's like, yeah, if Connor McDavid goes down on a breakaway and Kemper stops him, there's a bigger celebration on the Capitals bench than if Connor Brown would have went down and got stopped by Kemper. The players realize how big a moment it is. When Skinner makes the save on the third shot of the game on Ovechkin, that brought the bench up. It's like, okay, all right, guys, let's smarten up here. I thought that was – Ovechkin had a great game. And he easily, in most nights, has a hat trick in this hockey game. But it was funny, when Skinner – I think it was last year when Skinner went into Washington and they asked him about facing Ovechkin, he said, I'm excited to play against Ovechkin. And I'm thinking, kid, let's not talk too loud about how excited you are about facing a one-timer of Ovechkin. If I can't wait, it's going to be awesome. But then he goes and he plays well against them then. But tonight, like, he was outstanding. Like, outstanding in this hockey game, Stuart Skinner was. And that is a confidence builder again. He's a very confident goalie, and everyone believes in him. But to stop one of the greatest, if not the greatest, goal scorer in the history of the NHL, seven times tonight. Seven shots Ovechkin had, and he left with goose eggs. That's all on a great night by Stuart Skinner.
Time to get to the UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night. It's a fantastic Edmonton charity that is relentless in helping youth ages 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and find employment right here in our community. They got a great three-step process to transition these kids that are at risk, to give them the skills they need to re-enter the workforce. Visit UCAN.ca to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. Got your back. A proud monthly donor to UCAN Youth Services, and very much looking forward to their comedy nights. We will be there on the 20th, and we can't wait. Struddy, what do you got tonight, bud?
You score your first goal, you get it. Connor Brown. Yeah. I don't care where it went off, what body part went off. I don't care if you didn't use a stick, because more are coming. And this is, I think, Oilers fans, that we can, you know, it's fun, it's exciting, but they need this guy. If he can come through and start scoring at some, on some level, any level, more consistently than he has, it's huge for them. So Connor Brown, congrats. I've been dying to give this to you, and I hope I give you many more through the rest of the year.
Well, and we know a thing or two on this podcast. Like, we had a very similar storyline on this podcast this year, because we made a huge investment, Struds, in a Brown. and the early returns were not good. Like it was literally months before there was any sort of payoff at all. And it's been starting to come here recently. You know, not loving the bonus that he's going to make next year either. But Struds, our Brownie was very slow out of the gate too, and it's finally starting to come. So we kind of maybe feel a little like Ken Holland and Chris Knobloch a little bit.
No, we're proud. We're proud. I mean, we were regretting the decision. I found when he started working the triceps harder in the gym,
yeah,
his 100% contribution upped. So keep it up,
Brownie. Well, first of all, Connor Brown got to play with McDavid and Draisaitl. I only had Rashog and Strudwick. It was going to take me a while.
Kings yeah. of podcast.
Yeah, you were supposed to be. Zuby, you might as well bring up the screenshot again there, Brownie, on the pod last night. We're not expecting the fashion Riz that you brought to the podcast. So that was kind of an unexpected and added bonus. You were supposed to be the premier analyst, and you weren't able to grab that spot. So you're currently in the number three spot. But it's been going better lately, and we'll see. Maybe come playoff time, you'll be in the two hole. We'll have to wait and see. We haven't talked about Zach. Yeah, Brownie, go ahead.
No, I'm just excited. I'm excited to be part of this franchise going forward. Even if I'm the number three or four, if I'm behind Zuby and Steve too, I'm okay with that as well, as long as I can contribute.
We haven't talked about Zach Hyman yet. We're going to get to that. What do you think of Troy's stature? We're going to get to that as well. Takeaways is coming up. Lots more of the show remains, so stay with us.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Time now for our takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, head to the Edmonton Boat and Sportsman Show at the Edmonton Expo Center to visit with the great folks at Martin Motorsports. On display, their whole lineup of toys. Oh, fabulous toys. Sea-Doos and Switches for your next summer adventure. Ski-Doos so you're ready for the winter. Spiders, Rikers, and Zero Motorcycles. They've got absolutely everything. Go see Chris and the fabulous staff. And down at the show, March 14th to 17th. So it's ready to rock and roll here over the next few days. Should be a blast. They've got so much fun stuff. And the sales staff is passionate about it. They love talking about their toys at Martin Motorsports. Okay, gentlemen, Zach Hyman, the surprise hat trick. Although he said after, I mean, he obviously knew it hit him. And it sort of looked to me like he pointed to himself, almost like, yeah, it got me after the goal. But it was a delayed reaction for fans. They still had some hats being thrown out onto the ice. This incredible run of a season, goal-scoring Struddy, continues. And I imagine you probably want to start with the Toronto Maple Leaf fans in your answer here.
No, I mean, I'd rather have, for sure, Bertuzzi over Zach Hyman. I mean, like, 18 goals versus 45, for sure, man. Like, it's no big deal. He's fitting so well. I mean, how many times do we have to say it? But he's just done such a good job fitting in. He's elevated his game. I cannot do more than compare him to Chris Kunitz and Sidney Crosby. That's exactly what I think he has become. Just invaluable to play beside 97 Brownie.
Well, I see your comparison, but Hyman's a better player than Kunitz in my mind. And what I don't know if anyone envisioned Hyman to be a 50 goal scorer, even when the Oilers went out and signed him. But I could never understand how Toronto would let him go. Every time the Leafs played against the Oilers, I was always excited to watch Marner and Matthews and Riley play, and then eventually Tavares. But at the end of every night, it was Hyman was the one that I noticed the most. He just never quit on any play. And I'm like, okay, that's the guy right there. That's the guy you want to play like. I thought just the way he played was exactly what the Oilers needed. the 40, 50 goal seasons are just a bonus on top of what he brings. He is the guy that when you take your kid to a hockey game, you don't point at Connor or Leon and say, play like that guy, because your kid can't. But you can play like Hyman because he just does everything right. He just always making smart plays, always finishing checks, always getting in on the forecheck. The one thing I do hope for, guys, that I believe he's four goals away, I really do hope that he scores his 50th goal on this homestand. We saw tonight how the Oilers fans treat a guy scoring his first. I want them. I want to see what they're going to do for a guy that scores his 50th. So I really hope he scores it in the next three games.
It's crazy. Strutty, he's got eight fewer goals right now than Austin Matthews and 15 fewer points. Matthews makes, what, 13 and change? Like, the value they're getting out of Zach Hyman is just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk about how this contract look at the end. And listen, every player...
Doesn't matter.
I know, well, he's going to tail off, but still, the leadership then, you'll be paying for more, a bit more leadership.
Sure.
The work ethic will be there. Maybe he finds his way into the penalty kill. Like it's this guy will find a way to contribute. I truly believe that. He's been so important. You know, he and Ekholm, the impact they've had on this team. I think Derek Ryan's another guy, just a solid family guy who's been around, who's just calm and brings the right energy to the room every day.
Saber Cove says, how poetic would it be if he scores his 50th against the Maple Leafs?
Don't. Don't jinx it. Believe me, I've been thinking that. That would just be too good.
Well, he's going to have to slow down his goal-scoring pace for that to happen because there's still three games between now and then. They get the Avs, the Habs, the Sabres, and then the Maple Leafs on the 23rd. That would be pretty unreal. Zuby, did you grab the graphic from NHL Edge that you were going to grab there, pal?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, Zuby sent this to me and feeling like it was pretty interesting. Brown, you're not going to be able to see it, but it's basically top goal scorers by area. And I think this was before tonight. And what you see is, you know, a few different faces in and around the net. 6 goals, 8 goals, 3 goals to the left and right, right in the close slot. And then Zach Hyman with 31. Right in front of the net. Brownie, like you could pile together these 46 goals and, you know, has the puck traveled the length of blue line to blue line, do you think?
Probably not. He knows where to go and he hangs out in the right spots. And the thing is, and I know, I think Leon said it tonight too, when they were talking about Hyman, what makes him a successful goal scorer? Well, he knows where to go. But a lot of guys know where to go. It's when you get there, being able to do something with it. He's got fantastic hands, quick hands, and he's strong. When you are strong, you have an extra second to make the play because you can absorb a cross check or you can absorb a hit. He's got all the attributes that make him or allow him to be a goal scorer. And then he's got the hockey IQ to put himself in the right position over and over again. So he's a guy that you cheer for. As Strutty said, he's a good person. And to me, I cheer for good people. So I'm cheering for Zach Hyman to score his 50th and do it very, very soon here on home ice. But if it can't be home ice, is the Toronto game here or is that in Toronto?
It's at Toronto.
Oh, Jesus.
So if it can't be, if they can't do it on home ice, that would be the very next best place.
Zuby, did we grab a Hyman clip tonight? Sorry, but I can't recall what we'd isolated.
I did not.
No problem. And that's not your bad. That would be my bad. We do have Leon Draisaitl, I think, though. Do we not?
That would be a negative.
Nice organization here.
I was following along in the chat.
What else do we have, guys? Sorry,
there's one other one from Brown, and then there's that Knobloch clip you had from earlier in the day.
Oh, that from earlier in the day. Okay, I don't know if we'll get to that one. Okay, never mind. We've been to the Weiss Johnson soundbox lots already tonight. So sorry, folks. Late start, late night. We're a little bit disorganized here. That is our bad. Strud's opening night for Stetcher as an Oiler blue liner with Matthias Ekholm sick at home tonight. He draws in led the team in penalty minutes and hits. What'd you think?
Well, one's good. The other one isn't quite so good. Listen, I've liked him. I remember he played in Vancouver. I liked him. He's quick. Yeah, he is pretty aggressive. He's got a decent stick. I just think he's a little wound up too much, too excited. And I get it. I know that feeling. You want to make a good impact on your team. But he made some nice plays out there. I don't expect him to be taking those types of penalties. But I you know, for it was, you know, it's very lucky for him, unlucky for Ekholm that I got sick. But him to get in there now and get that first game out of your way, and now he's an Oiler. He is an Oiler. He's played for the Oilers. So, yeah, I like his game. You know, playing on your offside isn't always easy either, but I thought he did a good job today. I was impressed.
Brownie?
I remember him with the Canucks, and I remember liking him. I think tonight he had an off night. I don't think this was his best, and I think a lot of things went into it. The unexpected play tonight, he wasn't supposed to be in the lineup. It was an illness that got him in. Playing on his wrong side in his first game with a new partner, he's on the wrong side. He's a much better player than we saw tonight. And I do believe the next time you see him play, you will see what he's more capable of doing. So it would have been a tough night for him. And then you get a penalty and you're like, it just kind of snowballed from there. So I think he's a better player than what we saw.
Yeah, it was pointed out to me tonight. I had forgotten that he played with LA in the playoffs against the Oilers. He ended up with 4 points in four games. Like, he stung them. So this guy's been around, man. 489 games, I think he's at now. And I like the fact that he led the team in hits tonight. I like that, man. And that's the way he plays. He's not afraid to finish checks and get in people's way. And despite being not the biggest guy, I like it.
He's got quick feet. So when you have quick feet, you can get into position to hit. But listen, the first game is always hard. The new team, you're excited. You want to deliver, you know, a good performance. And so you're trying to do too much. So like Brownie says, I think next game will be a little bit more calm. Unfortunately for him, I don't know when that next game is going to be. Yeah. He's probably going to have to wait for illness or an injury. Let's be honest. Like, who are you taking out? Which of the six are you taking out?
Yeah, you would have to make a point of just finding a way to get him in to keep him engaged at that point. I mean, you just have to, you know, make an excuse to get him in.
And even the seventh defenseman, you're trying to create a third and fourth line. So that doesn't really work.
Yeah. And honestly, I forgot while I was on that trip with the team for trade deadline, I was grilling Knobloch about it after practice one day. He kind of looked at me funny, like, it's all the stature questions here. But he mentioned seven defensemen. So I could see, as much as he doesn't like doing it, I think the most likely scenario to get him games is actually he would consider going seven defensemen to get him in there regularly. Brownie, before we let you go, buddy, any other comments? Anything else from the game tonight that you thought was notable that we haven't covered yet?
No, I mean, just one last thing on Stetch. I know that Strutty talked about the hitting and he's able to get his feet into position. I remember when the Oilers used to play against him when he was with the Canucks. He used to take runs or try to finish checks on Connor and on Leon. He had no fear. And that's what really stood out for me when I watched him play. He could skate, as we saw tonight. He's got good skills, but he didn't back off the best players. He actually attacked. Now, Connor and Leon could push him aside, but it didn't. A lot of players get a little nervous and they don't want to run at Connor or Leon because they're afraid they're going to get out of position. He attacked them. So he is an aggressive player, even at that size. And I think as we see more and more of him, the fans here are going to appreciate what he's capable of doing.
Yep. Good point by you, bud. Brownie, thanks, buddy. We appreciate the late shift.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right. Talk to you soon. That is the great Rob Brown, whose appearance is, by the way, brought to you by Kinprint. Zuby, why don't you pop yourself up on camera? You got a little Kinprint action that arrived in the mail today. Zuby's got the Got Your Back swag. If you're a new company, see how Kinprint can help you with logo design, branding. Visit kinprint.ca. Not able to, Zuby? Oh, there you are. Yeah, you got the Got Your Back going.
I don't have a Kinprint two shot, so I was fumbling there to try. I just thought, myself in.
That's okay. So that's one of the customs. You can't actually buy those ones. That's a one-off. But one of a number of different looks that we are experimenting with. And a reminder, you can actually buy hats online now. Go to gybpod.com, and up in the right corner, I think it says GYB Swag. When we come back, we still have Take a Lap, Strutty's World, and Ask Us Anything. So lots ahead on the podcast. Short break here.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. All right, time now to Take a Lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it got even better. Backscape 2.0. There it is. Engineered for back shaving. The new friction fit handle allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. You can do the head with it if you want, the chest, whatever you need. The new titanium shave head gives you a smoother, more comfortable shave and respects your skin. Go to backscape.com. We've got a promo code for you, GYB10, and you'll get 10% off your first order, any of the kits that they have on their site. That's B-A-K-scape, backscape.com. Stay smooth, gentlemen. Strutty, where are we going, bud?
Let's start the Toronto Maple Leafs. I love stories like this. Bobby McCann, if you're not familiar, he's an older player, 27 years old, came out of college out of Coldgate, was the captain there, played some time in the minors, even went to the East Coast League. A month ago, he was going to be healthy scratch. Someone got sick. He jumps in and bangs out a hat trick. Since that time, he's rattled off, I think it's 10 goals,
yep.
17 points total. And he was rewarded today with a 2-year extension for the Leafs, like $2.7 million, you know, let's call it 1.3 per year. But, you know, finding someone like this and comes in and contributes from your group, you draft, you develop, you figure them out, and you get them in there. I've said this 1,000 times, I'll keep saying, it is so important. It's the lifeblood of a team because you don't have to plug that hole now. This guy's a third liner. If he makes 1.3, 1.4 for the next 2 years, and let's say he kicks in 14, 15 goals, that's a pretty good value. The Oilers are paying, you know, almost, what, 2.7 for Fogle, maybe get close to 20. So I think this is really important, and this is a just another one that you're called, your words, Shugger, notable. This is what good teams are trying to get good do. Bring people kind of out of nowhere, draft, develop, boom. Now you're on your third line.
Alberta boy, it's from Wainwright.
Yeah, is, love that.
Yeah, a couple of podcasts in a row here. We're shining a light on some guys from the region. 27 years old. Those are guys too that I wondered. I feel like those would just be good guys to have around the room. Guys who are just almost like a Vinny Desharnais when he first arrived. Exactly. You know, guys that just haven't always expected it and are just so pumped and thrilled to be there. Just really good reminders and really good presence in the room.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the Oilers have one, Vinny Desharnais. But it'd be nice to get a couple others.
Yeah.
Right, to just plug spots. So I know it's not easy, but that's the job. I'd study what went right with him and why he's here with the Leafs now. Next up, a huge game coming up for the Oilers on Saturday. Not as far as standings, but just, you know, as far as just bragging rights and just kind of swagger in the Western Conference, Colorado and Edmonton. Colorado was in Vancouver today. They got down 3-0. They come back, rattle off 4 goals in a row, win in overtime. McKinnon obviously all over this game with 2 goals.
Crazy, yeah.
It is. They are a good team. And people, Mikko Rantanen, do not forget about Mikko Rantanen. Everyone talks about McKinnon and Makar. Mikko Rantanen is a beast, is an absolute beast. So, you know, The Oilers claw back 1 point thanks to the Avalanche. They're now 9 points behind Vancouver with three games at hand. But the story is the comeback by the Avs.
Yeah, I was watching that game a little bit early at intermission, and the Canucks seemed to be in full control. And Colorado just woke up something fierce. That game next or on Saturday, bud, like that's a big one. And the Oilers are playing pretty well right now. I think they've got their game in order. They get these measuring stick games every once in a while during the regular season where they just it's going to have a different feel to it. I'm really interested to see what level they can bring. And you know, fans are going to read a ton into it, and rightfully so. How big do you think that game is? Like, what do you think?
I'm not going to use the word measuring stick because it isn't. Oilers don't need to measure themselves against these teams. They are amongst these top teams.
You don't think? Team that beat them before? Post-deadline, people, you know, teams have right. their new setup ready to go, first look. I don't know.
Well, what cliche would you use? What cliche would you use on it?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that measuring stick maybe isn't the best, but I think when it is, when you are playing against this team and you know, it's, I think it is. I do think it is. I mean, they've got very few teams in the world can come in with a skill level that matches what some of the best of what the Oilers can put out there. And this is one of them. So yeah, I want to see what kind of game the Oilers decide to play against the Colorado Avalanche. I'm going to read a lot into it to see how they approach it and what it looks like. So maybe not measuring stick, but I think it's a big one.
Like a measuring stick game for me would be if you are Detroit Red Wings and you're playing Florida, you know, are we able to make playoffs? That's a measuring stick game. So what this is, you want to come in you want to show in your building that you are the man, that this is your house. This is your team. We are better than your team. We're going to beat you in our building. Because had a number of games against Colorado, haven't played them yet this year. So that is how I'm approaching this. This is, we want to prove we are better than you. We don't need to measure. We don't need to ask for your permission to be able to play on the same ice as you. We are coming out to beat you. And it's interesting. If you look back at Colorado's, I think that's the third game Colorado's played Vancouver. They beat them every time this year. So, you know, this is a team, I believe it'd be a measuring game for Vancouver because they weren't supposed to be in this position. So if the Oilers players in that room are thinking this is a measuring stick, I would be like, guys, we don't need to ask for their permission to beat them. We're going to beat them because we're better. We're going to show them we're better than they are.
Yep. That's good perspective. That's good perspective. They do have 89 points. They've won five in a row, I think, now. So it's going to be a real tall test, and I think it'll be really interesting to see. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by our friends over at Backscape. But when we come back, Ask Us Anything and Strutty's World. Stay with us. Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, look good.
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. If you hadn't had the experience yet, of this amazing flavored rum blended on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts. Do yourself a favor, grab a bottle today. The Brindley family's been crafting these things in small batches for decades. Spiced rum, aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Get Shipwreck, fans. Available at your local liquor retailer. As always, please enjoy responsibly. I know you like the mango strutty. I had the vanilla last night. Ooh. Oh, it's up there, man. It's right close with the mango, but really, really good. Yeah. Which one did you? You had the mango, right? Which one did you like?
No, I love the cream. I think it's.
Yeah, you went with the cream.
I've been pounding the cream, like I'm talking pounding. You're supposed to. It's a little snort. I'm not. This is not a little snort. I'm deep pouring snort. It.
Yeah, deep pouring. Right. And as always, enjoy responsibly. But highly recommend you give it a rip. Pretty quality stuff. Strutty, what are we doing tonight for Strutty's World, friend?
You lose six games in a row in your playoff position. Before that starts, now you find yourselves out of it. Well, that's Detroit Red Wings. They are just on the outside looking in. They're competing with a couple other teams to try to get in. But today in practice, they had a dust-up. Lucas Raymond, a young player, and his teammate got into it, and they were battling, and it wasn't really a fight. I mean, Sherrod and he weren't really... I wouldn't call it a fight. It was just kind of pushing and shoving. Their teammates jumped in there and all that. But I like it. I like this because what happens usually in this situation, I've been in a fight in practice before, is generally speaking, it lets a little air out of the kettle, right? a little pressure. And then after, you know, the guys will give you a hard time in the dressing room, then you and the person you were battling with, if there was maybe a little bit of a problem, it just kind of, you kind of giggle about, maybe have a hug or a high five, and then boom, you're back to normal. And trying to create a little bit of energy. And I believe that this is what is going to happen, is create a little energy for the Red Wings. They'll find themselves their next game, a little bit more relaxed, just because of the kind of good momentum will carry into it. So it wasn't like two guys going toe-to-toe. It was pushing and shoving. It was front page news, obviously, because you don't see a lot of fights in practice, especially the ones that are videotaped. But Shager, I really like this for the Red Wings. I think that their next game, I'm calling it. She's a win.
She's a win. I don't even know who they have next. You're calling it though, hey?
Oh, I'm calling it. They play Arizona, so I think that helps as well.
Yeah. This is the thing. They're not out of it. Like they're right in the fight here. They're right in the wild card fight. And so I agree. You don't want to go down, you know, lame. And scraps in practice, they're very, very rare. I can't even remember the last time there was a scrap in an Oiler practice. Like I'm trying to think of this now and trying to remember when it would have even been. You know, man, I honestly, I can't even think of it. But the people might assume that they're just bad, right? That it's a bad sign. Not the case at all, man. Like I completely agree with you. I think it you know, and it wasn't like it was a big knock them down, drag them out, huge scrap or anything like that, but just something. Show you care. Show you're not happy. Like, just send a signal that you're not just going to go with the flow and accept what's happening. And so, you know, the skeptic might say, well, I'll do it in the game. Like, do it in the game, you know, when it matters. But I do think it's a sign of a team that cares and could be on the upswing.
Yeah, it's not like this is a workplace fight where someone's teeing off on someone else with their Rolodex. You know what I mean? Like this is in practice and it's a little different, but I just find it lets a light out of the kettle. Just a little bit of pressure. Just relaxes me a little bit.
What's your fight in practice story? Who did you fight in practice?
In junior,
who are you bullying around?
Oh, Tyson Nash, former NHL. We'd fight in practice. You know, quite often.
Really?
Just because we'd keep going at each other, going, and we'd have to drive. We drove to the practice together, so we'd have to drive home together, and that was like, you want to talk about a little bit awkward, but
did you guys live together?
But we lived across the street from each other. One time, I had a broken hand. I think he had a broken nose, and we were fighting. And Don Hayes like, what are you two idiots doing? Like, but we just compete so hard that it would get to that point. But then the nice part is you get into the game and you were already at playing at that time, that intensity. So it was, junior, we had quite, like, it wasn't brawls, but it was definitely two guys swinging.
Yeah, you definitely went after the bigger guys, hey? What was he, 5'11"?
Oh, no, he's not that big. It's like 5'10", 5'9 and a half.
He was scrappy, though, man. I was playing midget in Kamloops at the time. I watched your team with Tyson Nash on it. I watched you guys all the time. And I love the way that guy played, man. He was scrappy out there, and he was willing.
Oh, for sure. He was a real heart and soul player.
Yeah, 100%. And so you took it upon yourself to bully him at practice, being 5 inches taller and 50 pounds heavier.
That's right.
And
better looking.
And include. I don't know, man. His hair,
he does have good hair.
Yeah, the man has good hair.
He does.
And he's taking care of himself, and he's better tanned.
Living here, everyone's better tanned than I am.
All right, that was Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. When we come back, Zuby's going to hop in, and we'll take some of your questions. Ask Us Anything is next.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Time now for Ask Us Anything, and we mean anything, any topic. Bring it. Struds and I will entertain it. Brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House, your destination for all the sports action, big screens, ice cold beer, all your favorite pub favorites perfected. Match Eatery and Public House, located adjacent to Rogers Place in the Grand Villa Casino. For more information, check them out online at matchpub.com. Zuby, jump back in here with that good-looking hat. Hat got a little love on the Weiss Johnson YouTube stream. People were liking it.
It's so sharp. It looks wonderful. I thought you were going to come to me right off the top of the show. And so I actually had a prank planned where because you can't see me once we go to the start of the show. You see me. And then we go to the start of the show. And I thought you were going to say, come on, Zuby, and let's see the hat. And I had a cowboy hat here. I was going to switch to the cowboy hat. And then I realized I wouldn't be able to do that because my headphones wouldn't fit over the cowboy hat. So I had
a cowboy hat. Are you a cowboy, Zoobs?
No, but really? I have an excellent cowboy hat. It's cheap. It's a cheapo. I bought it.
That's being a pretender.
Rodeo. Full on pretend cowboy. Yes.
If you don't live the life, you don't get the hat, Struds.
I bought that at the Armstrong Fair. It looks good. I won't call my own number like Strutty does, but it looks good on me.
Come on. I'm gonna say. Cowboys out there, when pretenders go buy hats, I feel like that's Strutty. You can't do that. Can't pretend.
I own a cowboy hat. I've never tackled a moose or whatever it is, a cow. Never milked a cow.
Churned butter. I own a cowboy hat, and I've never tackled a moose. There's our gem of the day. I'm just writing that down. Go ahead, Zuby. I'm going to write that down.
Okay, a couple of good comments on the Brown, not Rob Brown, Connor Brown. ADN said, I just want to say I called him scoring tonight. It's not important that I've called him scoring for every single game in 2024. The important thing is I called it tonight.
Yeah.
And Jacob added, legend has it that Brown is still standing in the crease in disbelief that he scored. He didn't even put his hands up.
It was so slow developing too, like hit his foot, kind of fumbles through the goaltender, then drops on the other side like a Plinko chip on Price is Right. Like it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect for him.
There's one here, Struds, I want to get to. Jesse Bitts asks this question. Are you happy if the Oilers go into the playoffs with that second line?
Well,
I don't think this will be their second line in the playoffs, but I was going to pick this we're going to talk about this tonight, but we ended up dealing with some other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's a revolving door on that second line next to Draisaitl. It's been open auditions all year. Nobody's really won the part. Vogel's done well. Really nice goal they got tonight, by the way. What do you think, man?
I'm not down there all the time, obviously, but Leon seems happy when he plays with those guys.
Did you see him rub Vogel's head?
Yes. I don't see him do anything like that. So I don't know if he's being like a big big brother, little brother situation or what, but like that was a nice play. Leon down below the crease to McLeod. McLeod hits Fogle, who's driving the net high. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's what he wants. Maybe he wants fast wingers. And that's not to disrespect Kane or anything like that. Because I think having a strong third line also matters for the Oilers. It's probably not ideal, but Leon seems happy when he plays with those guys.
Saber Cove,
your turn to talk.
Saber Cove says Brown legit forgot how to celebrate. That could be a possibility.
He did look like he didn't remember. What do I do now?
He wasn't sure. To me, it looked like he wasn't. Yeah. He wanted to make sure. Like, it's just been so long. I could not be happier for this guy. Like, honestly, I agree. Thank God it's over.
What tells me a lot, Studs, what tells me a lot is watching his teammates react.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and talking to a few of them in the room afterwards. You can tell how much appreciation there is for the other parts of his game, but I think the person too. I think that's a big part of what this is about, is I really think he's beloved in that room. You can read a lot into the way teammates react when something like that happens.
Yeah, they were all happy. It was great.
I also wonder too, if because it went off his skate, it was almost like an eye roll, like, oh, maybe this isn't going to count either.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, good point.
Anyway, moving on to something else on Leon. Black Havoc 14 said Leon getting the shot from his office like five times in a row was unreal. That was crazy right before he finally scored the goal. But I thought that was kind of a good sign for Leon too, because I feel like sometimes he's waiting for that shot to be absolutely perfect. And tonight, on that first power play, he just let him rip on every time it came to him.
He sure did. You know, he was in his position. The one kind of was weird, it kind of floated over the net. But anyways, he finds his groove. And let's be clear, the Capitals are trying to take that away. If you look at the goal he does score, the D-man is pretty much between him and the net. But Leon, just before he gets there, gets it through the netminder. So I think three goals for the power play tonight was an important step for this group.
Black Havoc is also saying that Kane said he was going to get him his first goal tonight before the game. I'm not sure. Was that on the broadcast, guys? I wouldn't have seen that. But did he say that tonight?
It was on. I was watching the TNT broadcast, and there was he did the headset interview before, and Biz was kind of pushing. I'm not sure he said those. I don't recall him saying those words exactly, but that they were asking him. Biz was asking him about Connor Brown. So he said, we're. I don't remember the quote. Maybe he did say it word for word.
Yeah, yeah. But good on Evander Kane too, right? You know, Struddy, when your line mate's going through that and you're passing that puck all day long with the score being what it was. And I mean, good on Evander Kane for making that happen.
Yeah, and the thing is, you got to keep in mind that they want this guy to score, because if he starts scoring, it makes the team better. So I think that's for fans. It's not like you're rooting against your teammate. You want that guy to be successful because it helps your team be successful.
Yeah, and a bunch of people on the stream saying, oh, he definitely said it on the TNT broadcast, Supes.
CK Pond says, I think Knobloch is rolling with Brown and Henrique as they had chemistry at the 2021 World Championships. Hopefully it'll go. If that's the case, what do you think of that as an idea too? Of like, well, this guy's struggling, plus let's give him the new guy. Let's see what they can muster up together.
Don't love the overall speed level, Struddy, for playoff time.
On the whole, of who, Brown and Henrique and Kane?
I don't mind Kane's feet. I'm just saying, if Brown and Henrique are the pair, you know how you kind of got guys in pairs?
Yeah.
Definitely want to make sure you got someone who can skate on that other side for sure.
You don't think Brown's very fast?
No, I think he's gets around fine out there. I think he's decent, but I still think you want to make sure you're not slowing yourself down too much. So yeah, Brown's speed is decent. Between the two of them though, it's still not as fast as I think you need in the playoffs.
Quaddy says, I like the possibility of Vegas being the crossover team to the Central wildcard playoff. Figure that improves the Oilers' path to the cup. Now, it probably does, but if you're the Oilers, would you celebrate that, or you're like, no, we want to get those guys? What do you think, Struddy?
I don't think you really care. Honestly, you're going to play who's ever in front of you. You can't control that. You have no no hand in that about who it's going to be. So, yeah, I guess it'd be nice to beat that team, but you just want to beat four teams. Like, yeah, I don't think you really care. I think you know that it's going to be hard. Like, the two or the three teams you beat together West are going to be three good teams. There's, you know, maybe Nashville's a softie.
Yeah. That would be the soft spot for sure. But Nugent Hopkins was talking about this the other day. Like, you know, I think when you're as good as the Oilers are this season, I think we maybe don't quite register how much confidence this team deserves to have, even against the other best teams in the league, Struds. Like, they deserve to be confident against anybody that gets put in front of them. We maybe assume that they're subject to, oh, want to avoid this team or that. I don't think they think like that at all. I think the Oilers feel like one of the best teams in the league and are like, bring it on. I don't think they're worried about anybody.
If you think you can win a Stanley Cup, you can't be ducking people. And yeah. I don't think the team will. Like, yeah, it kind of goes back to my comment earlier. Like, you just go out and you're going to beat whoever. When Colorado comes in, we're not trying to show that we can play with them. We're showing we are going to beat you. That's the goal. We are going to beat you. That is what we're doing. Just like every other game, we're going to play the same level. And I think that's – so I hope Ekholm feels better. You know, I don't know what – you know, he has the cold or, you know, cold and flu season. But, you know, whatever. Like, I just – I want them to come out and just – that you don't take a back seat. Championship teams don't think about taking a back seat to anybody.
Last one, Zuby. Then we got to wrap this thing up. It is 1:13 a.m. Mountain Time.
Okay, I'm gonna give you two. The second one's gonna be really quick. I'm gonna paraphrase here.
Let's end it for sure. Let's do five more.
Might as well. Hey, we're short. The actual length of the show is short tonight. I'm gonna sort of paraphrase here what K-Dub said. Do you think Fogel would take a discount and sign back with the Oilers? Maybe he gets some term. Or do you think he, you know, to play in a cup contender, or is he getting a raise next year, no matter what?
Career year, unrestricted free agency comes along once or twice in your career if you're lucky. I don't know what his family personal situation is. There's a lot of factors that would, you know, that we don't know that come into play. But my gut would be no. I don't know why he would take a team-friendly discount. He's had a really good year. He's had production. Earn your money. Struds, what do you think?
Yeah, he's going to have a number in his head. The agent's going to say, this is your comparables. This is the number. And if Oilers come and say, we'll give it to him, then yeah, he's going to sign it. But he can hit his, like, quote-unquote home run. It's not Austin Matthews' home run, but it's going to be, for him, a home run. I'd got to think, Shocker, at least 4-year deal. For this guy.
Yeah, and at a certain point, bottom line, at a certain point, they need to move Warren Fogel out of the way and let Dylan Holloway take that role, right? Yeah. At a certain point, you just have to let that naturally happen. And good for Holloway, or good for Fogel, man. Good for him. Like, no critique at all. You know, he's earned it, and you wish him well, but I think
good trade.
Very good chance he's moving on.
Okay, last one. All in good fun, of course. Strud's Fivehead at wants to know, would Struddy rather see the Leafs lose or the Oilers win? What? We know you don't hate the Leafs. It's the Leafs fans you take issue with. What would give you more joy, the Leafs losing or the Oilers winning?
So would I rather see the Leafs fans in sheer agony or Oilers fans happy because they won? Oh, my God. That's a really tough one. I love Oilers fans. But
this
I love
Steelers fans. Hard, Struds. This can't be that hard.
If I had the choice between the Oilers winning the Stanley Cup and at least losing the Stanley Cup final, I would take the Oilers winning for sure. Because the fans deserve it. But man, I do love seeing Leafs fans suffer. Oh, it just brings me joy. It brings me so much joy.
Let's wrap up the show with our gem of the night. We have two of them tonight. Obviously, Connor Brown's standing ovation from the fans. So really, gem of the day goes to the fans that were in the building. Could you tell on the broadcast they had the Connor Brown? Yeah. They had that going in the stands too.
You could hear it. Yeah, it was
which
great.
I thought was pretty cool. So that's truly the gem of the night. But Struddy, you have a strong runner up with this quote. I own a cowboy hat and I've never tackled a moose.
Yeah. Cowboys are gritty, man.
The Struddy Hall of Fame vault. Good job tonight, pal. I know you look like you're running on about 90 minutes sleep. So thanks for pushing through.
That's good. It's good. I cannot wait for this game on Saturday. I'm so looking forward to it, guys. So let's all
it's
all
gonna
be
fun.
Up.
Yeah, and that'll be our next podcast. We'll drop one after the game on Saturday. Zuby, thank you very much, buddy. Great job tonight.
Cheers, fellas.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, and thanks to all of you for joining us on the live stream tonight. You stayed up late. Real solid numbers all the way through the stream tonight. Love it. Loyal listeners and watchers, great contributions on the stream. So thank you very much. Love having you along for the ride here on Got Your Back and getting to meet lots of people as I walk in and out of the Oilers games. Lots of really nice comments from folks that have been paying attention and listening to the pod. It's been great to meet all of you. And thank you for paying attention to us and lots of great shows ahead as we hurtle towards the playoffs. Big thanks to Sherwood Buick GMC. We'll talk to you again real soon, folks.